This morning we said that Paul echoes the message of Jude that we find in our text from Jude verse 24, that we are kept safe and secure by God from deadly dangers and for divine fellowship. Peter echoes that. We find it throughout the entirety of the Scriptures. Tonight I would like to read with you 1 Peter chapter 1, the first 9 verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, the first 9 verses. We read this word of God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles or pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him, now see Him. You believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Indeed, as we turn again to our text, Jude has been, as we read this morning, warning the church, warning God's people about the danger that does exist throughout this life for believers, but then also giving a call to persevere. And then we find our doxology, verse 24, 25, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we now again tonight return to this text, we do remember, we want to be reminded again of what we said this morning, that the path to heaven is safe. That is worth repeating. We are to have no doubt about that. We are to be sure about that. That the path to heaven for the child of God is safe. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we said, forged it, He prepared it, He walked it, He leads us on it, so that for those who are in Christ Jesus, our confidence is that believers are those, as we just read that Peter says, those who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God's people are being guarded. They are being kept. They are being kept in security, kept in a secure way for that salvation that Peter had just said is kept secure for them. Yet as we also said this morning, and we need to be reminded, on this side of glory, there is no road, there is no path as dangerous. This world is chaotic, it is unstable, it is uncertain, it is dark and wicked, and Satan, as the Scriptures tell us, is the ruler or the prince of this dark world. And in our own lives, we feel, we experience this instability and this uncertainty and this trouble. We feel, we experience the effects of sin and our own struggle with sin. Yet in the midst of that, the believer's confidence, the believer's comfort is that of being kept by God. Kept by God from falling into deadly danger. Again, that is, never will He let His redeemed by Christ children, his adopted children, fall away from him in the end or for good. That's what Peter is talking about when he says that he guards his people. He keeps his people. Again, the believer's salvation is sure, but as we also said this morning, this knowledge, this assurance is not to make us lazy or careless or disinterested or apathetic in our Christian walk or in our Christian life, but instead this assurance ought to promote, it ought to motivate God's people to walk closer with Him. It ought to motivate us to contend for that faith once for all delivered to the saints, to contend for that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to motivate us to want to build each other up in that most holy faith and to be built up by one another. It ought to motivate us to study the Word of God, to learn it, to not be content with where we are at today, right this moment in our spiritual walk. But instead that we would increase in our knowledge and in our assurance of such a great salvation. But as we close this morning, we also said that He doesn't simply preserve us from eternal death and hell, but He keeps believers for something wonderful, for something amazing, for divine fellowship. That's our second point tonight. Indeed, we enjoy fellowship with God today by faith. We don't see the fullness and the abundance of His glorious presence. We would not be able to handle that as we are right now. But one day God's people will. One day we shall dwell there in His very presence. So my question for us tonight at the very beginning is, does this excite us? Does this give you goosebumps? Being with the Lord forever, enjoying His favor without end. You see, beloved, this world as we know it is going to end. Boys and girls, understand that. This world as we know it is going to end, and then either it will be separation from God and the torment of hell forever for those who reject Him, or it will be eternal fellowship with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, in the perfect presence of His perfection and perfect and pure being. Again, Jude says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy." At the funeral service of Dale Hopp this past Tuesday, we sang a song that was one of Dale's favorites that's inserted. We're going to sing it at the close of the service, but the words of the chorus again include these: "Glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me, and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy." Kept for divine fellowship, that divine fellowship in holiness. Do you understand what this is saying? You see, beloved, those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those who are justified before the sight of God, those who are being sanctified are not simply preserved, but they will be perfected. That's what that sanctification is all about, making God's people perfect on that day when He brings us to Himself, perfected to be presented to the Almighty God in a way that is acceptable to Him. Now, indeed, this refers to eternity in heaven with a focus, as we said this morning, on the final judgment. Again, Jude had talked about the angels who did not stay in their own positions of authority but left their proper dwelling as He has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. And then the encouragement that we find in verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." In other words, on that day, again, even though we don't understand all that Judgment Day is going to be all about, yet on that day, we will understand, we will see, and we will understand the fullness of the mercy and the grace of God and what that means. being presented in a way that is acceptable to Him. You see, all are going to stand before the sovereign judge one day, but not all are going to stand the same. Not all are going to stand in the same condition. Not all are going to stand prepared for divine fellowship. Only God's people will stand before Him prepared. Only God's people will stand before Him blameless, without fault, without blemish, without sin. That's an amazing truth. That ought to cause us to stand up, to jump up and rejoice, especially as we considered again Colossians chapter 3 this morning, and believers are continually being called to put off that which is natural to us by sin, to put off the deeds of the flesh, to put off even those things that we want to do in sin, the sin that we still struggle with in this life. This is an amazing truth, that we shall be presented, God's people, we be presented blameless, because one can only stand and be in God's presence as holy. We can only do so as holy ourselves. We need to be, we must be holy, not holy in ourselves as if it's our work, but holy before God. And God, we know, sees us and accepts us right now as holy in Christ Jesus. And how amazing that is, because we know the truth of ourselves. Even as we sit here together tonight, we know that we are a long, long way from that. We know that our sin testifies against us and rises up against God each and every day. We know that we increase our debt daily. We know that we still depend on His mercy and grace. Yet, beloved, our Savior keeps us so that, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, that He might sanctify her, His church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The Holy Spirit is busy today, and we may not always sense Him being busy in our hearts and lives. But the Holy Spirit is busy today and every day in the child of God, sanctifying us, and He will complete that work. It is a work that will be so complete that the believer's very being in glory will be consistent with how God sees us now in Christ Jesus. On that day, though, our hope will not be in ourselves as fully sanctified. Our hope will not be in ourselves because we are at that time fully sanctified, but our hope is still in Christ Jesus, that in Him we pass the inspection because of His perfect work, because our sins have been paid for, because He was made to be, who had no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. On that day, beloved, any accusation that Satan could even attempt to make will be without foundation, because our Lord Jesus will be able to answer every single one on your account and mine. On that day, the law of God will have no charge against His people, because our Lord Jesus kept that law perfectly for you and for me. Everything about God's people will be completely free from the bondage of evil, so that on that day when we stand in the presence of God, we will be holy as He is holy. And therefore, saints will not be out of place in heaven, but they will be perfectly fit for heaven, for divine fellowship. Paul in 2 Timothy 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." And Spurgeon in his morning and evening comments on that verse. He says this, "I love the old story of a dying man who exclaimed, 'I have sent all before me. God's finger is on the latch of my door and I am ready for Him to enter.' But someone said, 'Are you afraid that you will miss your inheritance?' 'No,' said he, 'no. There's one crown in heaven that the angel Gabriel could not wear. It will fit no head but mine. There's one throne in heaven that Paul the Apostle could not fill. It was made for me.'" And the same is true for you and me who are in Christ Jesus. There is one place that no one else will be able to fill except you as a child of God and me as a child of God. Not because of you or me. How is all of this possible? Well, again, we've already touched on it, but merited by Jesus Christ. Judgment Day, again, we don't know what it's going to be like. We know what the Bible says, that on that day the books will be open and we will give an account for every idle thought, every idle word. But yet, for God's people, our Lord Jesus is there as our advocate, as our defense attorney, as the one who has paid for all of our sin. And therefore, we can say in truth that Judgment Day will not be terrible. It will not be fearful for the child of God. It will not be because of the saving sacrifice of Jesus for sin and His imputed righteousness, because the full debt of sin has been paid and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, as John says in 1 John 1 verse 9. Because as we read this morning in our assurance of pardon, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. That's quite a contrast from one extreme to the very opposite. You see, beloved, the very same word that is translated in our text, blameless, that very same word is used of the Lord Jesus Christ by Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, where he refers to the Lord as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, or also translated without defect. And that means believers will be presented Christ-like before the glory of God. Even now being remade, those who have been made in the image of God, being remade after the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be presented Christ-like before the glory of God. And this presentation, as Jude says, will be with great joy. Christ joy. Joy for Christ. And joy for the child of God. Christ joy, beloved, will be His privilege of presenting His church, that which He has purchased, the fruit of His labors, those for whom He is victorious. His joy will be His privilege of presenting His church, His bride, before His Father in glory. Oh, not those who believe or think they had a part in it. He makes that clear in the Sermon on the Mount. On that day, there will be those who say, well, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. He'll say, in essence, that's fine. I never knew you. You never trusted in me. I never knew you. He will not present those who believe or think they had a part in it, nor will He present those who did not take the faith and God's call seriously. But it will be His joy to present His bride, those for whom He is victorious, before the glorious presence of His Father. You can only imagine our Lord Jesus on that day. Father, here she is, my bride. Here they are. They're yours. What a day that will be. And our joy, beloved, will be to stand before God clothed in the white robes of Christ's righteousness, spotless, ready to give Him eternal worship and praise. How can we not, when we know so clearly on the one hand, we'll know even better then, but when we know on the one hand what it is we truly deserve, but on the other hand, what we have received. And therefore, even in the here and now, beloved, we are to be filled with awe and we are to desire to please God. Nothing else should matter to us. Even if we are threatened by the world, why should that terrify us? We are to be filled with awe and a desire to please God, and that will be evident in all of life, even when life seems unstable, uncertain. Even when we are filled with sorrow for our sin, because we know what Christ has done. But those who will stand before the judge filled with blame because of their own unrighteousness, they will be filled with terror. As the Bible teaches, they will cry out for the mountains and the hills to cover them and hide them from the glorious presence of God when He appears, because their unholiness contradicts His holiness and glory. They simply will not be able to stand it. God's people look forward to it. But those who reject Him will not be able to stand it. You see, redemption, being redeemed by Christ and the blessed assurance of salvation does not fill one with terror when in the presence of God, but it fills one with such joy. Our beloved kept by God from the deadly dangers that we find all around us in this life for divine fellowship. Oh, it's true, today our faults and our sin fill us, or should at least fill us, with a certain sense of fear and doubt and sorrow. But even then, we are called to be of good cheer, because by God's grace we shall be presented blameless and faultless with great joy. Imagine that. You see, in this life we quickly and we easily blame each other, don't we? We so quickly cast fault on one another. We blame each other for little trivial things. But there, on that day, then we will be blameless. Nothing to blame on us. We will be blameless for the things that really are our fault. And therefore, even today, we are able to cry out with Paul in confidence, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Why? Because as Paul goes on beautifully in verse 1 of chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Very simply, we know that for those who are not in Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. They still stand condemned before God, and apart from Him, they will be condemned to destruction for all eternity. Now, boys and girls, you may not yet understand all of this completely, but you must understand very simply that even one sin, even our sinful heart, apart from any actual sin, but even one sin, a little sin, if you will, as we categorize them, even one makes us dirty and filthy and worthy of hell forever. But Jesus Christ alone makes us clean, makes us spotless. If you don't know your sin, if you don't know what it is, if you don't know what it means, if you don't know who it is against, you won't think you need a Savior. But you know. You've been taught. And because we love you, we continue to tell you these things. You may wonder, why do we talk about Jesus so much? Why do we talk about justification? Why do we talk about these things? It's simply because we love you. We love your soul. We want you in glory. One day, you are called to believe in Jesus alone for salvation, and God's promise to you is you shall be saved. Because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Him. Young people in the teenage years, or even those a bit older in the college or young adult years of life, those years can be difficult for many, many reasons, but you too are called to be on guard. You're called to be on guard because Satan will not cease to attack you. Believe it or not, you are the most vulnerable. Because at that age, we tend to think that we know it already. Satan will not cease to attack you. Satan will attack you to question everything that you've been taught, to doubt it, to think that it doesn't matter, to think that you know better, to think that it means what you think and feel that it means, what makes sense to you. The problem is our feelings and our thoughts and our sense is still plagued by sin. Be careful. Study the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. God will bless that. What does the Word of God mean to you? What does it mean to you? You see, it is spiritual food, no matter what we think. It is spiritual food. It is the Word of God. And although we can't always understand it, although sometimes it doesn't make any sense to us, God says it. It is true, whether we understand it or not, whether we believe it or not, it is true. What does that word mean to you? Does it mean nothing? Is it simply a book of advice to take or leave as you feel it applies to you? Or do you feast upon it? Is it the manual for your life? Beloved, we must all remember that when the world says that you and I can do and be anything that we want or set our mind to be or to do, there's one thing that we can't do. We can't do that which is most necessary and essential. We can't cleanse ourselves from sin, apart from which absolutely everything else is meaningless. We cannot keep ourselves in the faith. We cannot get ourselves into heaven. And therefore, that means that we cannot live like we want and expect to go there. We must understand, beloved, that this is what salvation is all about. Security from deadly danger, the security of being God's precious possession, and security for divine fellowship, all because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And there is only one response for us to make, as Jude does at the very end of this letter, this one chapter letter, doxology and praise to God, all glory and majesty and dominion or power and authority, both now and forever, belongs to Him. And that doxology, that praise, includes living for Him as His redeemed people. It includes working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as Peter does, into the strength of the Lord. It includes building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit and keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. It includes contending for the faith once for all delivered. It includes getting to work. It includes conforming less and less to this world and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And beloved, this takes study. It takes diligent effort to contend for the faith, knowing that we do not do this perfectly. We do stumble. Yet God restores and God preserves. God keeps us safe in Christ Jesus forever. What greater comfort can God give to His children than this? This morning we referred to the first part of Psalm 73, where Asaph is struggling. We referred there to point out that the temptation to God's people from the devil to fall away is very, very real in this life. And now we refer back there again to the latter part of Genesis, where Asaph has been brought to see the truth, and he gives this beautiful confession. Two of my most favorite verses in Scripture, as some of you know, verses 23 and 24, Asaph says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you," with God. "You, God, you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Kept by God from deadly danger." And then he says, "And afterward, you will receive me to glory." Kept by God from deadly danger for divine fellowship. Asaph too, many, many years before, echoes, or maybe we should say Jude and Paul and Peter echo what Asaph knew. Beloved, is that your goal? Is this your desire? To be received into God's glory, because that is God's promise to each and every one of His people who are His people only because of Jesus Christ. If you are here tonight and you have not, if you know you have not yet turned your life to the Lord Jesus and trusted Him and confessed your sin and forsaken yourself, I plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead with you, don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. We don't know if there will be a tomorrow. God's call is now. God's call is real. God's call is sincere. And God's promise is for whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We know the saying that we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. In an unstable world, our future is secure. And therefore, beloved, let us rejoice that we will be united for eternity with our God and with our Savior and with each other, giving glory only to Him. Let's pray together.